So we're going through the Psalms, and today we're looking at Psalm number 4. And the theme we're looking at is the idea of being enlarged through difficulties. And the idea in this psalm is that we are often constrained or feel constrained. And that's the story of life. You know, life doesn't always go the way that we expect it to. And the fact that it doesn't always go the way we expect it to can often result in us feeling locked in or constrained. But these, as we shall see from the psalm, these are opportunities, because there is nothing that happens in life that cannot be transformed into an opportunity for a positive outcome. Everything can become work from the perspective of our spiritual growth and development. So there is nothing that happens to us in terms of our external life that cannot be transformed. And what we shall look at today is this idea that the teachings for the new church give us the ability to have our perspective shifted, and so that those things that might under other conditions seem to constrain us can actually be transformed to benefit us in terms of enlarging our capacity for love, and certainly enlarging our capacity for seeing the mercy of God and the grace of God at work in every condition or circumstance we have to face. So that's the theme for today. So reading from the book of Psalms, we're reading the fourth psalm, reading verses 1 to 8. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Our second reading is from the epistles. Reading the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And the reading from the teachings of the church found on your service sheet is from the Apocalypse Explained, number 365. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have affliction, but have confidence, I have overcome the world. That's John 16:33. Here peace means internal delight from being joined with the Lord, from which comes heaven and eternal joy. Peace is here opposed to affliction, because affliction signifies infestation by evils and falsities, which those have who are in divine peace so long as they live in the world. For the flesh, which they then bear about them, lusts after the things of the world, from which comes affliction. Therefore the Lord says, that in me you may have peace, in the world you have affliction. And as the Lord, in respect to his human, acquired to himself power over the hells, thus over the evils and falsities that with everyone rise up from the hells into the flesh and infest, he says, "Have confidence, I have overcome the world." So how do we react when things don't go our way? You know, we often find ourselves in situations where we feel limited, restricted, or without any obvious way out of the things that we feel are closing in upon us. But part of committing to a spiritual approach to life means that we commit ourselves to living from principles that draw our focus inward, to the place within. And this is where our focus has to be if we really want to see changes in our external circumstances, or if we want to see our external circumstances transformed. You see, what presents itself on the surface, what we think are the issues and problems in our lives, are more often than not simply the effects of something deeper. Something lying at a deeper place, covered over by these effects that we are refusing perhaps to face up to or deal with. And of course, we all know that it is easier to blame others or blame our circumstances for the state of discomfort that we sometimes feel in our lives, rather than to examine our own motivations in the light of spiritual principles and then take responsibility before the Lord for our responses. Now, no one likes experiencing emotional states that bring discomfort or suffering into their lives. However, such states are a fact of life. Discomfort and suffering are unavoidable aspects of living life in the world. Our plans don't always work out the way we would have liked them to. Our relationships often don't run as smooth or end up as fulfilling as we once hoped for. Or we may even look at our lives at times and wonder how we got to where we are. What was it that brought about the choices we made in our life? The question, though, is not how to avoid unwanted states of life, because these are going to present themselves whether we want them to or not. But rather the question is, what is our response when we find ourselves in such states of life? The teachings for the new church or spiritual Christianity makes available to people an approach to life that involves a perspective from which every event, every relationship, every situation or circumstance that we can possibly be faced with can be transformed into something that can serve us in our spiritual growth and development. So basically, every person has two choices as far as their response to life goes. We can either look to ourselves as the center of the universe and drown in our own efforts to keep at bay those things that we don't want to face up to, or we can look to the divine. We can look to the Lord, who is the true center of all that is, and we can work with him through making spiritual principles found in the Word as the basis for our life. And if we do that, then our minds can be restructured from the inside out, and our perspective on life can be transformed. This is because genuine spiritual principles are transformative in nature, in their nature. Spiritual Christianity is a transformative spirituality. It can transform any situation, any circumstance, any relationship into a positive, spirit-led experience the effects of which can reverberate to eternity. A conscious, ongoing commitment to a spiritual life means that you enter into the very mode of life your whole being is created to live for and from. You are a spiritual being. You happen to be in a physical body at this time. But the call upon your life is to realize your spiritual potential. And when we talk about spiritual potential, we're talking about an increased capacity to love appropriately, increased capacity to receive wisdom, and so that we can live life in connection with the divine life itself. Your reason for being here is to realize your spiritual potential, to mature spiritually, to move beyond the confines of the illusionary world of your senses so that you can be reconnected to what is higher and become a vessel for the inflow of the love and wisdom of heaven. Because this is where true happiness and true joy is found. It is found in being connected to what is spiritual, so that all things in your life can be brought into order and your circumstances, or at least your perspective of your circumstances, can be transformed. You see, without spiritual principles to guide us, we end up viewing the cause of our problems and difficulties in life as lying outside of ourselves. The problem is out there. We don't see that the problem is our response to what appears to be the constraint without. And so if we don't have spiritual principles to guide our life, we become susceptible to falling into a victim mentality as we look at those things outside of us and regard them as forces over which we have no control. We may fall into the if-only syndrome. If only my circumstances were different. If only I had more money. If only she or he would treat me differently, all would be well. I would then be happy. But wishful thinking can't get us what we seek. It merely keeps us from facing up to the need to take responsibility for our own states of life. We need to take responsibility by getting hold of the spiritual principles that the Lord has given and revealed to us, the teachings we have, and we need to use these teachings to attend to our interior life, to get our interior life in order, so that we think in a right way about things. These teachings that are available to all, if they seek, are the most valuable thing any human being can come to possess. They have the power to make all things new, if we are willing to honestly and faithfully take them into our life and live from them. What we will find is that they have the power to open us up, to expose our selfish patterns of thought, to restructure our minds, and to make us truly human, to bring us to our full potential. In a word, they have the power to make us whole. Whole, complete, truly human beings. And the way they do this is that they give us an understanding of the Holy Scriptures that brings us into contact with the Lord Himself. For He is within His Word, and this is where He's found. And this is the difference between natural Christianity and spiritual Christianity. Natural Christianity looks to a historical person. Spiritual Christianity moves into the Word and finds the reality and the living person within it, who is the Lord God, Jesus Christ. He is alive in the truths that we take into our life. He is those truths, and He becomes one with our life if we choose to live from them. When we draw close to the Scriptures or the Word, we enter into the light of the Lord's love. And that light is wisdom, and it penetrates to the very depths of our soul. It asks of us the hard questions, the questions we've been avoiding. It exposes our fears, our unwillingness to let go of the very things that wreak havoc in our lives. And it asks us to trust in these truths, that they will bring about the transformation we seek. It asks us to trust them in order that they might do their work within our minds. It is not an easy path, for we are attached to much that draws us away from the spiritual life, that connects us in with materialism and convinces us that these things that we see around us, this is what reality is made up of. But the spiritual life knows that these things are but an appearance, and that the true, real things of life lie within us. They lie within the things that are loving and wise and compassionate and merciful and true. These are the real things of life. Things that we can take hold of and live with integrity from. These are the things that are important in life. If we don't see that and we're caught up in the world, then we attach ourselves to the anxieties of the world, the worries of the world. We become victims of external forces over which we don't have the tools to control. But when you take an inward spiritual focus, these things that present themselves, they cannot overwhelm us, because we have teachings that we can go back to and connect with the Lord in the midst of what's presenting. If it's true freedom we want, then this is the path we must be prepared to choose. And we can get a sense of what's involved from this psalm that we read this morning. Firstly, as with all the psalms, we see that there needs to be an acknowledgement on our part that we are in need of the Lord if we want to become spiritual. This acknowledgement from the perspective of spiritual Christianity is to acknowledge that the Word is divine, that it is from the Lord, and anything from the Lord is the Lord. So it's an acknowledgement not of the lips. It's not just a mental acknowledgement that the Word is divine. This acknowledgement is an acknowledgement of action. It's an acknowledgement seen in a willingness to put aside our own self-devised ideas about what's best for us and look to the Scriptures to hear what the Spirit of truth is saying. Taking hold of the Scriptures and living from them is what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. To say we believe in the Lord but not be taking time to be in the Word or to believe that it's divine is to delude ourselves. You have to be in the Word, you have to be absorbed in spiritual teaching if the Word is to be in you. It's only through the Word being in you that you can awaken to opportunities for real spiritual transformation in your life. In all the Psalms, there is this unqualified acceptance of the Lord and are looking to Him for our life. The psalm we read this morning opens with the psalmist looking to God, asking to be heard. So when we are struggling in life, we tend to believe that God is somehow distant from us. But we know from our teachings that God is never distant from anyone. And that any sense of distancing we feel is a reflection of our own state of life. And it is not a comment on God's apparent indifference. We distance ourselves from having a closer sense of the Lord's presence when we allow negative or selfish states to grip our lives. These states reflect a narrowness in our perception that centers on ourselves. And when we are self-centered, our perspective alters and we lose sight of the truth that God is ever with us, waiting for us to open up to Him so that He can help us. The Lord does not come in without an invitation. He does not override a person's will. We must be open and accepting and willing to respond to His truth if we want the Lord to be a part of our lives. And those who are in a spiritual practice know this is true. And they know that in times of struggle and temptation, these are times of opportunity to gain further insight into the negative states of belief and life that exist within our proprium or the egoic side of our life. So if those who seek the Lord approach such insights with openness and a willingness to work to have what is constricting their spiritual life removed, they find that times of restriction offer opportunities for enlargement and growth. Therefore, the psalm says in verse 1, "You enlarged me in my restriction." When we look to the Lord or the Word in times when we feel constrained, we are able to see our negative states of mind, our false beliefs, the things that bind us up. And we're able to take responsibility for them. We're able to begin to work to have these things removed so that the conditions that we find ourselves in are able to be transformed. Does that mean they go away? No. What happens is your perspective in relation to them changes. So the transformation of external conditions is really about transformation of our internal states so that we can bring new positive perspectives regardless of what the external conditions are. These conditions, when we have this perspective, they then become the means by which the Lord is able to teach us something about ourselves. In these moments of clarity as to what stands in the way of our spiritual progress, we find that the restrictions we experience in life are transformed into something that can lead us into seeing what needs changing in our life. What was against us actually makes us stronger if we are willing to engage consciously in a spiritual practice of examining our heart and taking action to make the changes we see need to be made. What we will find is that as we develop an attitude to restriction that is able to recognize that in such states there is the possibility for our enlargement, then we enter into a much more positive approach to life in general. In this attitude, we are able to see the mercy of God, even in the difficulties we have to face. But if we don't look to make a habit of incorporating a spiritual practice into our lives, we will not see how we are bound by restrictive beliefs and habits. We will not see how it is that we are locked up in thoughts and feelings that our external conditions and relationships seem to be against us. We will not look to learn what our reactions to situations and circumstances in life say about ourselves. We will not see that these things present to us the possibility for internal change. We will remain in the idea that others need to change, that our circumstances and situations need to change. This is not a spiritual perspective. Spiritual view is difficult for the natural man to accept, but the spiritual view is linked to seeing the responsibility lies with what is within us, with seeking the Lord's help to change what is within us. Those who are in the spiritual life know that remaining in a natural perspective or approach to life only leads to despair and frustration. And it does so because you remain disconnected from the source of life, which is the divine itself. Fulfillment in life can only be found through being reconnected to the source. This is how the human mind is designed. It's designed to be connected to the Lord, because we are, at the end of the day, spiritual beings. We need to seek to find that reconnection. And that reconnection is found when we are willing to reflect and not pass off our responsibility onto others. Therefore, in verse 4, we are admonished to tremble and do not sin. Speak within your own heart, on your bed, and be still. And in verse 5, we are told to offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Now, all things in the Word correspond to spiritual realities. So when it speaks of speaking within our own heart, on our own bed, it means that we are to take out the time to consider our life and motivation. The spiritual life involves the purification of our motives through the application of truths from the Word. And so just as the physical body rests on a physical bed, so each of our minds have structures of thought on which the inner sense of ourselves rests as on a bed. These thought structures that we rest in and live our life from, these form our philosophy of life. We all have beliefs about ourselves, about our world, about God, that define our sense of who we are. These beliefs, they are tied to what we value. And if we have a spiritual level to our life, our core values will be those that are concerned with loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. The core values of a spiritual life are those that lead us into a love for the spiritual welfare of others. Therefore, the spiritual person looks to weigh their heart in the light of those truths that teach what is involved in loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. For it is in these truths that their mind rests as a bed or as a foundation for life. Those who offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord are those who take spiritual truths and live from them for no other reason than that they consider this kind of life as being the right kind of life to live. They engage in a spiritual practice because it's what the Word asks of them. They don't do it for any particular reward or outcome, but are content to trust that the Lord will direct and guide all things to what is ultimately good, loving, and true, despite what presents on the externals of life. Those in the spiritual life know that in times of struggle, thoughts will arise from within them that cause them to question the path they have chosen. They know the many doubts that are voiced in the words of verse 6. There are many who say, "Who will make us see any good?" But they are not easily shaken, for they know that their God is in full control of all that happens. They know the truth of verse 8 that says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." They have learnt that happiness is not about having things go their own way. It's not about ease of life or a life without difficulties. They know that suffering is an opportunity for the mercy and goodness of God to reveal itself. They have learnt the invaluable lesson that happiness is found in trusting in the Lord or in the Word or in those truths, whatever the situation or circumstances they find themselves in. For spiritual happiness comes with being able to accept whatever is presenting itself, knowing that every event is an opportunity for inner transformation. Amen.